We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and open our hearts as we meditate upon another precious section of the word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to the treasures which you reveal to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, bound 18 years. And as he was teaching in one of the synagogues, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. We have here the ingredients of a total disaster. Kind of like an accident waiting to happen. World War III. We'll take a look at the list of some of the characters and the situation in which it unfolded. He was teaching in the synagogue. A synagogue was a place where the Jews regularly worshipped every Sabbath day. Not the temple. They did that at different times during the year also. But the synagogues were what we would call local churches. There were hundreds of them spread throughout the Holy Land. And the Jews frequented them every Sabbath day. It was the place where the Jews commonly worshipped. Every synagogue had a ruler. He was called the ruler of the synagogue. This morning, to make things easier, we'll call him the chief honcho. He was the one who ran the show. It was all under his direction. And this unfolded on the Sabbath day. This was the day of the week when no work was supposed to be done. God was the one who should be honored, and the day was set aside for him. Now, the ruler of the synagogue, which we've called the chief honcho, was the one who set everything up. And he was more than likely always an older person. Many times a scribe, many times a Pharisee. And he was the one that was in charge of everything. It was also customary to have a guest preacher come every now and then, which actually happened quite often. And this was the day that Jesus was doing it. Jesus was the one that was teaching in one of the synagogues. Visiting rabbis, they were called, and more than likely were younger men. And the chief honcho of the synagogue would be listening in very, very carefully on everything that was said. He was in charge of it. And he was the one, the chief honcho, that decided what was to be done and when it was to be done. And his word was law. He ran the whole show. So Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and then there was the congregation that was also there. And then during the course of what was being done there, a suffering woman came. She was a pathetic sight. She couldn't stand up. She had to kind of crawl. And the chief honcho was watching all this as it unfolded. It seems like she wasn't there at the beginning. But she came when she found out that Jesus was the scribe or whatever, the rabbi that was doing teaching that day. And she came in, and she must have looked like a snake crawling along the floor in the middle of all the people. And it must have resembled somewhat, I would believe, what happened in the Garden of Eden when the Lord God told the serpent, "Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And he who walked into the Garden of Eden in all of his glory went slithering out on his belly, unable anymore to stand up. And somehow that was what happened to the woman. She couldn't stand up. She had to crawl. And she was in this condition for 18 years. 18 years. And the chief honcho is watching very carefully to see how things are going to play out. Because Jesus was not more than likely a stranger to him. The younger rabbi was in his early 30s, and he had a reputation already. The first sermon that he gave was in his home congregation, and when he finished the sermon, the congregation was so angry, they tried to kill him by throwing him off a hill. That's how his ministry got started. And not much had changed since then. So the older chief honcho is watching very, very carefully to see what is going to unfold. Because he also knew that Jesus had a reputation for healing people. And this was the Sabbath day, when healing was not supposed to be done. So the chief honcho is watching as the woman comes crawling through on the floor, unable to stand up. Well, for a little background, the chief honcho should have known that Jesus was not the only prophet who ran into trouble now and then. If the chief honcho had read the Old Testament, he would have known that the prophet Jeremiah was thrown into a pit and sunk up to his armpits in the mire. He was not liked. The chief honcho should have known that the prophet Moses was hated by his own people. They wanted to depose him and get a new captain and move back to Egypt from whence they had come. Every true prophet in the Old Testament was hated by the children of Israel. There wasn't one of them that wasn't. So if Jesus was running into some contention in the synagogues in his land, it shouldn't have been a surprise to the chief honcho. He should also have known that Dathan and Abiram and their families met a terrible, terrible death for fighting against Moses and criticizing. He should have known that. Moses told all the people to get away from the tents of Dathan and Abiram. And he called Dathan and Abiram out. And they came out and stood in the doorways of their tents with their wives and their children. And then Moses said, "If these men die a natural death, then God has not sent me. But if a strange thing happens, this never happened before, then you'll know that the Lord God has sent me and I'm preaching his word." No sooner had he finished saying than all of a sudden there was an earthquake. The ground opened up, and Dathan and Abiram and their families went down screaming into the depths of the earth in the fire. So, and not only that, there's another side of the coin too. The false prophets were loved. They were loved because they told the people what the people wanted to hear, not what God wanted them to hear. So the chief honcho should have known that. But he's watching. Now Jesus is the culprit. So then it happened, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, and that would be an evil spirit, one of the devil's cohorts. She had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. Behold indicates, the word indicates that it seems like she wasn't there from the beginning. She came into the middle of the sermon that the rabbi Jesus, the young guy, was giving, and Chief Honcho was listening to, and she learned when Jesus was there, she learned about it, and she struggled to get to him. Notice that Luke is the one who wrote about this. He's a physician, the beloved physician. And he would be interested in something like this. So when she came through the congregation there, fighting her way through, Jesus saw her. And the chief honcho is watching. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to himself. And he said unto the woman, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And the chief honcho heard it. He heard what Jesus said. And he laid his hands on her. And the chief honcho was watching. And immediately she was made straight. And she glorified God. And the chief honcho was watching. We see here an example of the power of the Word of God, which hardly anybody believes in anymore. The power is in the Word, not the gimmicks. The Word. And the power of just a single touch. And everything that Jesus did in his life was done to the honor and glory of God. And this is true of every saint when we're living in obedience to Christ and living according to his will. We're glorifying God. Now, it may not look like it, but it is. Sometimes it's not done in dramatic fashion, giving a child a cold cup of water, for example, but that's to the honor and glory of God. So, when Jesus did what he did, the chief honcho was livid. He was upset. And he was not going to let this stand. He's the head of things. He's the one that tells how things were supposed to be done here, not some young rabbi. And so he thundered. The ruler of the synagogue, I won't call him the chief honcho. The chief honcho answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. That's terrible. That's awful. And he said to the people, now he's instructing the congregation now. Don't listen to this guy. This is the way it should be done. There are 6 days in a week in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come to be healed. Now he's talking to the woman. After 18 years of crawling on the ground, she's standing up, and the chief honcho's lecturing her. You shouldn't be here. There are 6 other days in the week you can come. Come and be healed on one of those, not on the Sabbath day. You don't know whether to laugh or cry. The chief honcho is just dripping with compassion, isn't he? He didn't care about the 18 years that the woman was crawling on the ground. And now she can walk. He didn't care about that. That doesn't mean anything. I have spoken, and the issue is closed. No, the issue is not closed. And the young rabbi, who's in his early 30s, is not cowed by the older chief of sinners, is what he is. And he calls him out. Thou hypocrite. Shocking, shocking. The chief honcho is being called a hypocrite by this young rabbi. And then the congregation, listen, did you hear that? Did you hear that? What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a pretender, somebody who pretends he's something or somebody that he's not. And the chief honcho pretended that he was a learned child of God and an instructor of the people. And he didn't know the ABCs of salvation. He was a pretender. He was telling people what they wanted to hear so he could be popular like many of the others in his day. And the people flocked to him. They loved it. But here's a young rabbi that's calling him a hypocrite. And it doesn't sound like he had the guts to make a reply. So then come the two questions. Question number one, and now the people are listening, and the chief honcho is listening now too, but he can't reply. Question number one, then the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering, to give him a drink? Don't you do that? Try to remember a little bit. A couple hours before this, didn't you take your ox or the donkey and lead him down and give him a drink of water? Didn't you do that? Well, that's more of work than Jesus did. All Jesus did was touch a woman and say a word or two. And if you consider that work, then what about what you just did a couple hours ago, you hypocrite? Didn't you do that? And don't you do it every single Sabbath day? Isn't that the way it works? Or doesn't the law mean anything to you? It's just to the people. And then question number two. And in question number one, nobody could deny that. Everybody did that. That had a donkey or an ox. They always did that. Every Sabbath, even every Sabbath day they did it. And then question number two, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? We can see why you wouldn't like somebody like Ruth. She was a Moabitess. You can see why you wouldn't like her. But this woman is a daughter of Abraham. One of yours. Had the same blood of Abraham pulsing through her body as you've got through yours. And should not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound. You can see Satan's involved in this. Has bound, lo, these 18 years. Think about it. How would you like to crawl on the ground for 18 years, not even able to stand up? And how would you feel then if Jesus healed you? And she was criticized for coming, and he was criticized for doing it. How would you feel? And even so, it's the Sabbath day. So these two questions could not be answered without losing face. And maybe it's too much to expect, but maybe, just maybe, the chief honcho had to crawl out on his hands and knees and get out of the synagogue. Maybe that happened. I doubt it, but it would be nice. So turnabout is fair play. The young rabbi, who was 33 years old at this time, almost ready to die, was the Son of God. And it's a dangerous thing to cross swords with the Son of God. And God knows how many people were saved that day besides the woman. Well, she was saved already. But maybe this example turned some others. And so, and when he had said these things, what happened? All his adversaries were ashamed. They didn't have an answer. They didn't have an answer. And all the people, the other people, rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. And the him, of course, was Jesus. There's a lesson here, briefly, about the history of the visible church and the history of the invisible church. And to the human eye, the two churches look completely different. The visible church has many, many, many numbers in it, expensive buildings in it, all of the good things of the world to attract people in. They've got them all the gimmicks. But they're filled with hypocrites. Not that there aren't any true believers in there. Some get sucked in, and the Holy Spirit, if they're his, he'll bring them out. But most of them are not. And the invisible church? Well, I was going to say it looks like a loser, but really, you can't see it. The invisible church is in the heart of God's elect. And these elect are members of the very small remnant. And they were chosen by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit before the world was created. So it goes all the way back into eternity past. And it cannot be changed. The chief honcho can't change it. The devil himself can't change it. And many, many times, the members of the invisible church, it's in the home. Surprise, surprise. It's in the home, where the Lord God has brought together an elect man and an elect woman, and they become husband and wife, and they're blessed with elect children, all chosen from before the foundation of the world. Doesn't always happen that way, but that's the normal way it does. And the father is the priest, the mother is the priestess, and the children are the congregation. That's the invisible church. And if they're near other families that are members of that church also, someday they can join together. But it doesn't look like a winner. It doesn't look like a winner. And for a conclusion, I'm going to read some verses from Hebrews chapter 11. And this, in here, the Holy Spirit gives us an indication of what has happened and is happening in the invisible church. And I'm going to read it through without comment. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail of me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, members of the invisible church, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, the true prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come to mind. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Many examples. Waxed valiant in fight. Samson. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Happens all the time in a spiritual way, but it happened also in a physical way. They received their dead to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They could have. All they would have had to do was deny Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and it all would have been gone. They wouldn't do it. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. People are looking, the elect, the very small remnant, are looking ahead to the resurrection all the time. They're waiting for the second coming of Christ. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. Wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Oh, why not? Why not? Why didn't they receive the promise? Oh, they didn't receive it yet. They're still waiting for it. They received not the promise. Why? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So, as the world as we know it is swiftly going down toward destruction, let's remember this, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in full control of every single thing that is happening. Let's run that through again. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in full control of every single thing that's happening. And it's all happening for the good of God's elect. Satan is not running rampant like it looks like he is. He's in full control. And there is a set time. The time was set back in eternity past. A very set time when the Heavenly Father is going to send His Son back into the world. And He's not going to come like He did the first time in humility to suffer and die. He's going to come in power, might, and glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's going to destroy the enemy. Satan and all of his wicked ones are going down. And He's going to bring His bride to the marriage altar. And the wedding bells are going to ring, and we'll all be living together in the kingdom of glory. Behold, I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.